Hello, I'm Dodge, and this is the I Found It on Reddit short stories podcast, where I will be reading to you my favorite short stories that I find on Reddit. Today is going to be a little different, though. Today I'm going to actually be reading a story that I hadn't found on Reddit. I ran across this author on Twitter. It was offering their work for free for the month of June, for Pride Month. And my intention was to post this episode, video episode, in the month of June, but, you know, life happens. And it's July. Happy 4th, by the way. So, they were offering their work for free for the month of June. And so I went over to Smashwords and checked out one of his stories. And I fell in love with it. And I figured, Reddit or not, this story needs to be shared. So I am going to read If It All Has to End by Sam Haywood. It's gay pride themed, and it hasn't been censored for language, so a lot of cursing. If you're not comfortable with that, give me a few days and I'll have a censored version available for you to hear. But for now, here is the uncensored version of If It All Has to End by Sam Haywood, available on Smashwords for free if you would like to read it yourself. And after the story, I will have an interview with the author as well. You can find a link in the description for my YouTube narration of the story. It'll contain a shorter version of the interview, and it'll probably be uncensored too, so heads up for that. Yeah, once I get the censored version of the story up, I will post that link in the description as well. So, let's just jump right in to the tangent edition of I Found It on Reddit short stories. Let's get started. If It All Has to End by Sam Haywood. Dedicated in memory of Tracy. May we cross paths again in our next reality.
Hey, learn to drive, asshole.
The cyclist flips me off as he passes my car. I wave apologetically and smile. It wasn't my fault anyway. That pickup truck cut me off. Dickhead. I pump the brakes and my car slows to a stop in front of the traffic light. God damn it, seriously? I'm gonna hit every red light in town tonight, aren't I? The pickup truck speeds off ahead of me because, of course it does. I start drumming my fingers against the steering wheel impatiently. Just my stupid luck. I'm gonna be late getting home to my wife, and she's gonna wonder where I am. And she'll start to worry about me like she always does. And then, when I do eventually get home, she'll be all stressed during our birthday dinner. Yeah, that's right. Our birthday dinner. We have the same birthday, Cass and me. I don't know why people always go so apeshit when they first hear about that. We're not related or anything. We just happen to be born on the same day. It's just a cool little coincidence.
Makes it a hell of a lot easier to remember, too.
I give a dry laugh at that. Yeah, it's definitely convenient having only one birthday to remember. Plus, if one of us ever ends up forgetting, we'd know for a fact it wouldn't be because of any lack of interest. I look down at the clock on the dashboard. 5:15. This light better turn green soon.
or I'm gonna miss closing time for that Italian takeout place Cass and I like. And then we won't get to have that awesome baked ziti we always get. But fucking hell, what kind of takeout place closes at 5? Did Cass invite anyone over for dinner tonight? The question pops into my mind out of nowhere. I frown. Why would she invite someone over? Actually, who would she have invited over? We haven't had guests for our birthday in half a decade. The only person we ever used to have over was her brother Dave, but he moved across the country to Maine 5 years ago. And he hasn't been able to fly out to see us. Which is fine, of course. I don't mind having an evening alone with Cass. I honestly prefer it, if anything. We never used to get time to ourselves like this when we first started dating. Cass and I met way back in high school during our freshman year. We were lab partners during our chemistry class. And thank God for that, because I never would have passed the class otherwise. She was one of the best students in the grade. And I, to put it lightly, wasn't the ripest banana in the bunch. But Cass didn't mind, apparently. She showed me how to do the experiments. They were, usually something stupid, like watching some chemical drip out of that big-ass tube they put in the stand and measuring the change in volume. And when we had to do our lab report, she wrote the entire thing herself and added my name on it. Was it chemistry class? Huh. That's weird. I always thought... Wait, no. It was biology class we met in. I never took chemistry. Anyway, Cass and I were lab partners in biology, and by the end of the first semester, we had gotten pretty close. And when we found out we had the same birthday, I mean, we kind of had to be best friends at that point. Because what other choice was there? Cass and I were pretty much inseparable for the next 2 years. We took all the same classes, and she helped me pass the harder ones. She talked me into joining the track team, and I got her to do chess club, which she was surprisingly good at, considering she claimed to have never played before. We had sleepovers every weekend. I'd go to her place, she'd come to mine. We'd have dinner and a movie, and we'd go to bed, huddled together on the floor of the den. And then, during the spring of 2006, in the middle of our junior year, it happened. I realized I was in love with her. It was the first time I had ever been in love with a girl. First time I had been in love with anyone, actually. At least that I know of. And I couldn't let her know. If she found out, it would... everything we had would be ruined. And I would be left there without my best friend. There was no way she liked me back. I mean, what were the chances she was even into girls? She probably liked that guy in our English class like all the other girls did. Fucking Brad. What did any of them ever see in him anyway? He was such a douchebag. Still is, honestly. He still tries hitting on me every time I go by his auto shop to get my oil changed, even though he knows I'm married. And a lesbian. Yep. A 30-something-year-old dipshit who peaked in high school now spends his days genuinely thinking has a shot at nailing a lesbian. How's that for fucking sad? I'd go somewhere else, but the only other mechanic in town charges double what Brad does. And I figure getting hit on by an asshole is better than getting ripped off by one. Even if the asshole hitting on me was the biggest asshole at... What was the name of our high school? It was... Shit, what was it? Why am I having so much trouble remembering it all of a sudden? St. John? St. Jean? No, that's not right. It was... I'm broken out of my reverie by the sound of horns blaring behind me. I jolt upright and slam on the gas pedal, peeling through the light just as it turns yellow. I cringe at myself as I look in the rearview mirror and see the line of pissed-off drivers behind me stuck at yet another red light. Sorry, guys. Hope you weren't in a hurry for anything.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't have an order matching that name.
I furrow my brow at the host. I'm completely sure I called in the order of baked ziti earlier today. Did I put it under Cass's name for some reason? Could you see if there's anything for Cass then? I ask, hoping I just had a senior moment on the way over here and forgot that I would be the one picking up. God, look at me saying senior moment. I'm fucking 34 years old. No, wait, no. 35 now. And I'm already losing my shit. Christ on a cock. The person working the register presses a few keys and looks back up with me with a frown. He shakes his head lightly.
Nothing,
he says.
Did you want to place a to-go order?
I sigh and stick my hands into my pockets. Sure, I say, trying to mask my frustration. The cashier presses another key before looking at me expectantly. I tell him what I want, and he punches it into the computer.
All right, we'll have that ready shortly,
he says. He motions towards the benches over by the window.
You can have a seat while you wait if you like.
I grunt to quit, thanks, and plod over to the benches, sinking down into one of the cushions. How the hell do they manage to make these things both soft and uncomfortably stiff at the same time? I remember the first time Cass and I came here together. It was right after our senior prom, our first real date. It was owned by someone different back then. DeLuca, I think his name was. No, it was Donato. Fuck, that's right. It was Tony Donato, and he was seriously the best cook I've ever known. He was one of the only people working that night. It was a family restaurant back then. And goddamn, his lasagna was just... ugh, incredible. I've never had anything like it. Then, Tony died a few years back, and none of his kids wanted to take over the business, so the place was bought out by some corporate asshole. Changed the whole damn menu. They still have lasagna, of course, but it's nothing like Tony's. He took his recipe with him to the grave. The only thing worth getting here anymore is the baked ziti. Anyway, senior prom. I was in my calculus class with Cass one day, trying to seem like I was interested enough in the material that Mr. What's-His-Face wouldn't yell at me, but not enough that he would call on me to answer. Fuck, I hated that class. Ugh. Yeah, we were in the middle of learning about tangential functions or some crap like that when Cass passed me this paper crane thing she made. You know, those little origami figures people in movies are always showing off, that they probably had folded by a machine or an intern who doesn't get paid enough, and that you'd never think anyone does in real life. But Cass did. And she slid it over onto my desk while I had my nose buried in the textbook. It was incredible. I don't know where she learned to make things like that. Like, honest to God, it was so detailed that I swore I could make out individual feathers on the thing. Individual fucking feathers. It's beautiful,
I whispered to her, when a teacher had his back turned.
She nudged my arm with her elbow.
Open it, she whispered back. I couldn't help but feel bad destroying what must have taken hours of practice to make, but my guilt was replaced by confusion when I saw what was written on the paper inside. Will you go to prom with me? Was etched onto the paper in beautiful, perfect calligraphy. Honest to God, Cass, do you have to be so damn amazing all the time? Like, as friends? I asked. Cass just rolled her eyes and laughed quietly. Mr. Dickhead up at the front turned around to glare at us, and we quickly pretended to be busy working on whatever stupid problem he wanted us to be doing.
No, stupid. Like, as a date, she whispered when the teacher turned back to the chalkboard. I like you.
I was floored.
She liked me? What the hell did that mean? Like, it had to be as friends, right?
I mean, there was no way it was the same way I liked her, right? Right? Apparently it was. I caught on somewhere around the third time she kissed me during a slow song, and even then, I literally had to flat out ask her if she liked me as a girlfriend. She just laughed and kissed me again. Yeah, I know the stereotypes, the clueless lesbian and all, but hey, it's my love story, so whatever. I can deal with being a stereotype once in a while. Was it a crane? Or was it an owl? I frown. What the hell? Of course it was a crane. Who the fuck makes an origami owl? That's not even a thing. Then why does it feel so familiar? I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening.
Ma'am?
I'm snapped back to reality once again by the sound of the cashier calling over to me. I look up at him, a bit startled. He holds up a takeout bag with my name on it.
Your order's ready, ma'am.
I grunt as I push myself to my feet and walk over to the counter. I hand him my debit card and watch as he swipes it in the machine. He frowns.
It's not going through, he says. Should I try it again?
I nod. Go for it, I say. He swipes again, then looks back up at me with a pitying smile. Fuck, I hate it when people do that.
It's still declining, he says.
In that fake, sweet voice customer service people always do. You know the one. Where they're fed up with the idiot customer but don't want to get fired for calling them a fuckwad to their face.
Do you have another card you'd like to use, or?
I grunt in response and rifle through my bag, trying to find the wad of cash I always keep in there for emergencies. How the fuck was my card declining? Was it something with the chip inside? Can those things expire? I know it's not my bank funds because I had over $10,000 in that account last time I checked. Didn't I? I pull out a handful of bills and flip a 20 out of the wad. The cashier rings it up and starts pulling out singles from the register. I wave him off. Keep the change, I grunt. He thanks me as I pick up the takeout bag and head back out to my car. I've got to call the bank in the morning and ask about my card.
Can't do that.
I freeze in my tracks. What the fuck? Why wouldn't I be able to call them tomorrow? What the hell is happening to me? I try to shake off my growing unease as I open the door to my car and get in the driver's seat. I lay the tray of baked ziti on the passenger's seat and strap myself in. I turn the keys, and the dashboard lights flicker to life. The clock reads 6 o'clock. I sigh. Just in time.
Des, is that you?
I hear Cass call out to me from the kitchen when I enter the house. I smirk a little as I shake my boots off over the tray by the door.
Yeah, I say. Who else would it be?
I put on my slippers and thump my way into the kitchen, where Cass is sitting at the table sipping on a glass of champagne. And that dress she's wearing. God, she looks incredible in that thing. Nice dress, I say. She smiles and looks down at herself, smoothing out some of the wrinkles in the fabric.
Oh, thanks, hon, she says. It's the one you gave me last year, remember?
I frown a bit, squinting. I don't remember giving her that dress. I've never seen that dress before in my life.
Something wrong, hon?
Cass's smile has a hint of concern now, and I can tell she's getting worried about me, so I try to brush it off as just another lapse in memory and forget about the whole thing.
Seems like you're having a lot of those today.
Whoever you are, whatever you are not ruining my special night with my wife. Got it?
Yeah, I'm fine, I say. I put the takeout bag down on the counter and start peeling open the paper sides. The tray is warm, fresh out of the oven, no doubt. And I can smell the delicious aroma of mixed herbs and sauces wafting up towards my face. I pry off the lid and find bits. Lasagna? What the hell? I ordered baked ziti. Baked fucking ziti! What's going on here? Why did they give me lasagna? And why? Why does it smell like Tony's always used to?
Oh, perfect,
Cass says, licking her lips.
You know, no matter how many times we have Tony's lasagna, I just never get tired of it.
Tony, I start. But I'm interrupted by the sound of our toilet flushing down the hall. My head snaps to the side in the direction of the bathroom.
What the hell is that?
I ask. Cass furrows her brow at me.
Dave? She says quizzically. He comes here every year for our birthday dinner.
Yeah, I know he did, but that was before he... I trail off.
Did he fly in for the occasion?
Cass looks more concerned now.
Fly out? She repeats. Where would he have flown out from?
Maine? I mutter after a few seconds pause.
Did you say... Des, are you sure you're feeling all right?
I didn't give her an answer. Instead, staggering my way down the hall towards the bathroom, I push past Dave without a word and stumble into the little room, shutting the door behind me as quickly as I can.
What the hell is happening? I take a deep breath as I press my back against the door.
Calm down, Des. I just need to splash some cold water in my face. Yeah, that's it.
Just some cold water and everything will be fine. I shuffle over to the sink and turn on the water, cupping my shaky hands underneath the faucet. I let the water pool in my hands for a second before tossing it up into my face. I take a breath and splash another handful of water onto myself. That's better. All right. I think I'm ready to... I catch a glimpse of my reflection in the mirror, and I almost scream when I see what I look like. Shoulder length, curly red hair pours down from my scalp. My hair is brown. Okay. I'm seriously starting to lose it. Like, what the fuck is happening to me? Why is this happening to me? I hear a knock at the door. Des? Cass says softly on the other side. Everything all right in there?
I'm fine.
I call back. But my voice is... That's not my voice. I'm seriously on the verge of tears at this point. What the hell is this? Is someone messing with me? Is this some sort of fucking prank? Are you
enjoying this?
I'm fine, Cass. I say shakily. Just give me a minute, okay? There's a pause on the other side before Cass gives a quiet... Okay. And I hear the soft sound of her footsteps shuffling away down the hall. I sink to the floor, back against the wall. What is going on? When I finally emerge from my makeshift madhouse, Cass is sitting in the kitchen by herself. The tray of lasagna. No. It's back to being baked ziti. It's on the table in front of her, and she's got this horribly sad expression on her face. I take a seat across from her. Where's Dave? I manage weakly. Cass is silent for a minute, and I wonder if she even heard me at all. I open my mouth to speak again, but she cuts me off. I thought it would be different this time. She says quietly. Thought what would be different? I ask. She shakes her head sadly, spreading her arms out and gesturing all around her. Everything, she says. Cass, I don't know what...
Just listen, she interrupts.
Des, you were right. Dave did move to Maine. I shot up out of my chair.
I knew it!
I say, a little too enthusiastically, and Cass winces in her seat. I sit back down. Sorry, I mutter. As I was saying, she continues, Dave moved away 5 years ago. Just not this time. What do you mean, not this time? I ask. Cass, what's been going on today? Everything is so different. Cass finishes my thought for me. I know. It was like that last time, too.
Last time?
What I'm trying to say, Cass says. She chokes on her words a bit and has to clear her throat. Fuck. This never gets any easier. She mutters, staring down at the placemat in front of her. She takes a deep breath before continuing. What I'm trying to say is that this isn't the first time I've done this.
Done? Done what, Cass?
I ask. She shifts uncomfortably in her seat for a moment before looking back up at me. This isn't the first time I've lived.
And this isn't the first time I'm hearing this.
Cass smiles sadly at me as a single tear rolls down my cheek. How is this possible? I'm so sorry, Des. She whispers. I really thought. Cass breaks down. I can't say anything. What is there to say? I just sit there and wait for her to go on. Des, I need you to listen to me. She says suddenly. I don't know why it happens. I don't know how it happens, but I can remember every time I've lived before this. I remember every moment. Every breath, every heartbreak. I remember every time it's ended, and I remember every time it's begun again afterwards. I don't. She trails off, fighting back more tears. I need you to believe me, Des, she says, looking at me with desperation in her eyes. Do you believe me? I stare blankly across the table at her for several seconds. She can't be serious right now. This has to be some sort of a prank. I mean, how could she have lived before? How could she remember living before? How could she?
She's telling the truth.
I nod my head slowly. I believe you, I say. She sighs softly and lowers her head, saying nothing. The only sound in the house is the gentle tick of the clock beside us on the wall. I slowly slide my hand across the table and place it over hers, feeling her flinch, but not pull away from me. When does it end? I ask, though. Deep down, I already know the answer. She looks back up at me, and her eyes are flooded with yet unspilled tears. Tonight, she answers solemnly. Now it's my turn to stare down at the table in sullen silence. If this is really where it ends, if this is really the last night of my life, I want to spend every last second with her. I pull my hand away and sit up straight in my chair. Come on, I say. Cass looks up at me in surprised confusion. I stand up and scoot around the table until I'm standing next to her chair. I hold my hand out to her, smiling softly. If it all has to end, and this is really going to be our last night together, then I know exactly where I want to spend it. Which one is that again?
Cass looks up at the sky, trying to figure out which star I'm pointing to. She squints.
That real bright one up there?
She says. I nod.
That's Sirius, the dog star.
Guess I should have paid better attention in astronomy class. I joke.
I mean, not that it'll matter in a few minutes anyway.
She laughs. You know, it really does matter, she says. Every second I've spent with you, Des, I really, honestly, wouldn't ever trade away those memories. Not for anything. I feel myself start to tear up, and I wipe the sleeve of my sweater across my eyes. The field is quiet tonight. Peaceful, even. It's just the two of us out here. The city is miles away, bustling with people going here and there. Dave is out there somewhere, maybe close, maybe off in Maine. Everyone is busy and going about their normal lives, perfectly unaware that tomorrow will never come for them. But not me. And not my wife. Hey, Cass? I say suddenly. She turns her head to look at me, black hair blowing gracefully across her face and the grass beneath her head. Yeah?
Were you ever married before? I ask. In your other lives, I mean. The ones before this one.
I was,
she says, doing her best to nod in the awkward position she's in. My heart sinks, but I try not to let it show.
Who?
I ask. She blinks at me a few times in confusion.
You, she says. Des, it's always been you. I've lived the same life now, 8 separate times. I've made the same choices, the same mistakes, felt the same pains and joys, all so I could get back to where I know I belong. To this moment, with you.
You could do anything you wanted, I say. Though I know she'll argue with me. Why would you choose the same life over and over again? Doesn't that get tiring? Cass just shrugs.
Why would I want to change the story when I already know what a beautiful ending I get?
I know I can't stop myself from crying now, so I don't try. I just lie there and let the tears flow freely. Cass reaches over and squeezes my hand.
I love you, she says. I love you too, I say back. Promise me one thing, will you?
She nods.
Anything,
she says quickly.
Promise you'll find me again in your next life, I say. Promise me that you'll come back for me.
She smiles warmly, and I see a single tear roll off of her cheek into the grass below.
Always.
We turn our gazes skyward again, and watch as the stars above us twinkle into the sea of blackness. It really is beautiful out here in this field. That's probably why she proposed to me here. Or maybe it's because this is where it all ends.
Strangely, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it all ending tonight and doing this all again in another world. If it means I get to meet Cass for the first time again, then whatever force is doing this can't be all bad, right?
Cass's watch beeps, and she glances down at her wrist. She sighs sadly and turns back to me.
1 minute left,
she says. Got anything you need to get off your chest before it's over? I'm silent for a moment. There's so much I want to tell her, so much that I haven't said yet. How grateful I am to have her in my life, not just now, but every other time. How much I look forward to seeing her again when the time comes. And there's so much I don't know yet, too. A million questions flood through my mind, and I can't possibly pick one of them above all the rest, so I don't say any of it. I just laugh quietly and smile over at her. Yeah, I'll tell you tomorrow, I say. Everything starts getting brighter. And I know this is it. This is the end. I lean over to kiss her. To kiss my wife for the last time as everything fades to white. Goodbye, Cass. Slowly fades, and I wait. I'm
alive, but where am I? I'm not out in the field anymore. I'm not even outside. I'm in a room I've never seen before, but everything feels so familiar. Handfuls of people dressed in blue and white scrubs rush around, passing by whatever table I'm on. Is this... am I in a hospital? Fuck, am I a baby? I try to speak, but the only sounds that come out of my underdeveloped lips is a series of gurgles. One of the doctors in the room glances over at me and smiles gently. Yep, definitely a baby. The doctor motions to one of the nurses to come take over at his station, and he moves closer to lift me up off the tray they had me on. Who the fuck puts a baby on a tray? Doctors. Apparently. But this one just took me off of one, so I guess he's not like the others. Doctor Not Like Other Girls cradles me in his arms and starts carrying me towards the door of the room. I try to speak. Try to tell him that there's been some sort of mistake, but once again, the only sound I can manage is a couple of gurgles and a soft coo. The doctor smiles warmly down at me and taps a finger to my nose gently.
If he does that again, bite his fucking finger off.
I'm not. Whatever. Whoever is giving me these thoughts, we're going to have a nice long chat later about what is and is not proper etiquette for the inside of my mind.
Asshole.
Freeloader.
Fetus.
Parasite. My mental argument is cut short when the doctor pushes open another door, sending a loud creak up to my infant ears. Is this seriously how loud everything is? Fuck this shit. I want out.
All right, Mrs. Garcia. We have her right here for you.
Garcia? Wait a minute. That's my name. Thank you, doctor. My mother says. I feel her reach up to take me from the man carrying me, and in an instant, everything is warm.
So this is what a mother's love feels like.
Wait a second. What the fuck? Dude, are you okay? My concern for whatever time-hopping mental tapeworm is talking to me evaporates when I feel my mother's warm hand against my face. I look up at her, and she's so much younger than I remember her looking. My sweet little desire, she coos, stroking a finger down my cheek. My sweet, beautiful baby.
everything I've ever hoped for and more.
Yeah, she won't always feel that way.
I wish I could say something to her. I wish I could tell her that I remember her, that I love her, that I'm sorry for the way things turned out last time, but I can't speak. And it wouldn't matter anyways. She doesn't remember any of that. So I just rest my baby head against her and let myself be loved by the mother I always wished I could see again. Mom puts me down into the crib next to her hospital bed. Another tray. Go figure. And turns out the light beside her. It's late. Past midnight by this point. And she's got to be exhausted. And as I lay there in the dark, I hear soft noises coming from the other side of the room. And I realize that we weren't alone. There's another baby propped up in its crib, staring wide-eyed at me. I'm about to scowl at it, to tell it in whatever baby language we both speak to piss off. But then I get a better look at the face. And I'm overcome with relief.
It's her.
Cass. She knows. And more importantly, she knows that I know. I sigh, staring across the dark room at the face of the person I've come to know so well over the course of a lifetime. We've found each other again, here in our next life. And we've got an entire future to look forward to.
Everything is going to be okay.
Today I am being joined by the author of If It All Has to End, author Sam Haywood. Welcome to the I Found It on Reddit short stories podcast, Sam.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you for coming. I know there was some apprehension, but I feel like with authors who, I'm not even sure, you've written a lot. I can't really even say that you're new to writing.
Man, I'm new to publishing.
Publishing.
That counts for anything.
It absolutely counts for something. It counts for almost everything. Because getting to that transitionary period where you're just like, you know, I write. I just, you know, I write. And then getting to that point where you're actually publishing, even if it's just yourself publishing, that's a huge step.
Yeah. It's like going from that weird kid in the back of every math class who, you know, has that secret notebook that they write in all the time and never let anyone see it, to saying, hey, everyone, look at this weird notebook I have. It's definitely kind of weird to be putting things out there.
You know what? Let's go back. Tell me about you starting to write. Like, when did you realize that writing was your thing?
There was never like one specific moment. It was really just, I've always liked making and telling stories. Remember when I was like 7 or 8, I, of course, had a notebook because everyone does.
Right.
You know, you can't be a writer without that one notebook. And I would stay up until like 2 in the morning just writing weird details down in it. I have no idea where it went or if it still exists.
Right.
But if it does, I will most certainly never let anyone look at it because I know the concoctions of my 7-year-old mind would not be fit for print. But yeah, there was never really one specific moment where I was like, hey, I want to write. It was more just, hey, this is pretty fun. I'm going to keep doing this.
Wow. My book would contain a lot of emo poetry.
Oh my god, I remember my emo poetry stage.
And thinking it was brilliant.
It was in high school, too, because of course it was.
Of course it was. Of course.
You know, it's like every high schooler thinks they're deep because they write edgy poetry in a composition notebook and don't let other people read it. Like, listen, man. It's cool. Do what you gotta do.
Yes. It's almost as if you know me. This clearly is a characteristic of many people, because that is so on point.
We all have the same experiences in the world.
Yeah, and yet we think we're alone for some reason. Come on. Come on.
Not even 5 minutes in, we're already getting to the deep stuff.
Dude, I don't play around. No, I'm trauma! Wow, yeah. Same. Mine was a spiral. I don't know where it is, where it's gone to. I tried to have an English teacher read my poetry while I was, like, in the next room. Just like, because you can't look at someone read your work.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's so distressing to just watch their facial expressions when they're reading. It's like, oh God, they're getting to that part, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. Dang, exactly. Like, oh.
It's not quite as bad when it's like a Google Doc that you're both in, but it's still like, oh no, I can see their cursor. I can see them typing the comments. This is almost worse. I can, because like, you know, when you're just looking at them, you can see their expressions, you know, you can kind of guess what they're thinking. But if you're in the doc while they're typing out the comments, then you know exactly what they're thinking.
Yes.
And if it's not exactly what you wanted it to be, it's, oh no.
Shatter. Yeah. I've never given my English teacher enough credit. Mr. Anderson, you were amazing. You helped me to love words and read into stuff and overanalyze. You're a chef kiss. You're great.
I hope Mr. Anderson sees this.
He will never see this.
Wherever he is.
He doesn't even know I exist. He probably doesn't even remember me. Dag, but when you're an English teacher and you touch someone's heart, let me finish that sentence, and you touch someone's heart, and it is, it's freaking magic. You don't even realize how many lives you've changed when you're a teacher.
Absolutely. English teachers are the unsung heroes of our society.
Oh my God.
They really have to put up with so much BS.
They gotta read our crap? Oh my God.
Yeah.
So much of our crap. It's
they have to read the first draft of this.
The first.
Ew.
Yes. And then they have to try to help us to make it.
Oh no, that. It's bad enough to read it. It's a whole other experience to try to be like, all right, here's how we can take it from this to good.
Right. To whatever this is. Oh, man. I love you, man. Man, wherever you are, I love you. You had a lot of work to do. But we're here. We made it here.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. It's amazing. Your story, if it all has to end, is beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump around a lot. I'm going to try to stay focused. I have like...
Oh, that's such a big mood. So... I don't, you might have been able to tell this from my writing style, but I go off on so many tangents all the time. I'll say up front, if at any point during this interview I mentioned the Blair Witch Project, just tell me to shut up, because that tangent goes on for like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Even I think it's annoying.
Okay, done, deal. We have a pact.
So the Blair Witch Project.
No. No. Right, so how did you get to that transitionary period where you're like,
you know, I write. I think I'm good enough to be published. I want people to see what I've made.
Honestly, the short stories I've published came into being while I was still working on my novel, because I was thinking, okay, if I start out with a novel, you know, people aren't going to know what they're getting into. No one's going to want to, you know, read this. Mm. If I put out some short stories, you know, it's more accessible, less of a time commitment. You know, you don't have to commit to a full 100,000 word bunch of nonsense.
Yes.
And I decided, yeah, I'll just whip up a couple short stories from the idea bin in the dark recesses of my mind. And I will put them on paper and I'll say, hey, come read these.
For the month of June, you decided to put, was it just all your stories or was it just this story that you were planning on putting it for free?
All the short stories are available for free for the month of June. If it all has to end, it will actually be available for free even after this. I'm deciding to make that permanently free because, you know, accessible in other areas, so I thought, hey, why not?
How has that gone? Like, have you noticed any, I don't know if you can tell if people have downloaded it or not, but
oh, you most certainly can. I've had about 80 downloads across all my stories this past month alone.
Oh my god.
So definitely a huge spike from before June.
Sam, that's awesome.
Thank you.
God, man, 80. I'd be happy with 8. I would freaking, I'd black out. Like, I'd go into a coma if I just had 8.
It's more believable because it's, like, spread out across them, so it's not like every single story is getting 80.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still kind of surreal to be like, wow, 80 people are reading the things that I wrote on the internet.
Yeah. Dude, I've only read if it all has to end, but I am talking to you about this story because I didn't know you. I didn't know anything about you. But when I had a Twitter page, you popped up saying that you were, you know, making your material free. And I was like, why the hell not? It's June. It's the perfect time to do it. And I read your story and it's, you know, it's not on Reddit. I don't know. I don't even know if you're on Reddit, but I was like, I want to put this on my podcast. This is freaking beautiful.
I am on Reddit. I never use it, though. I don't even know my username. I go on there about once a month when a notification pops up and that's it.
Why? Why? Why?
I don't know. I got the app thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna use this all the time, and then I just didn't.
It's so big with writers, I'm surprised.
Yeah. It's a really cool platform, but honestly, I think shorter style messages are my forte, rather than like long drawn out posts, which is why I'm not really active on Instagram either.
Mm-hmm.
I made like an announcement post 1 or 2 days ago about the novel, but that's the most I've ever done on there.
Social media is...
It's whack.
It's whack.
You're telling me I gotta put things on the internet for people to see? Disgusting.
And be judged constantly?
Can you imagine?
God. Man. So how did you come up with this story?
Honestly, I don't know. A lot of my story inspirations come from weird dreams that I have that I randomly remember throughout parts of the day. Like, oh, hey, that was kind of funny. Maybe I'll write something about that. This one, I honestly have no idea where it came from. I just thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I wrote a story about people who remembered other dimensions? That'd be fun.
Whoa.
Then it kind of evolved into, oh, hey, why not make it what it is now?
I read this story in... I can't say anything. I'm sorry. I'm like, you've been up for like 4 or 6 hours. I've been up for 20 minutes, so...
I have had so much caffeine in that time. It's a miracle I'm not passed out.
You're already on the downswing.
Oh, absolutely.
I read this story so fast. It's 18 pages long. I don't know. I guess depending on how you format the font and stuff. But I read it so fast because I was like, what is going on with her? What's wrong? How... what's really going on here? And I was so worried for her. I wanted her to be okay. And then in the beginning, I was just like, geez, this is so cute. This is just like so wholesome and awesome. And I got flashbacks of like junior high, of when you have that crush and you just like, do you like me? Because I think you're really cool.
Yeah. It's what are those things that the music people, the thing where it ticks back and forth, the
metronome. Yes.
It's like that, going from wholesome to what the heck is going on here.
Yes.
So quickly.
Yes.
Back and forth and back and forth.
It's not jarring, though.
I'm so glad to hear that. That was one of my anxieties with publishing this was, okay, is it going to be like Whiplash, or is it going to be like, okay, you know, kind of easing into each one? So I'm glad to hear it wasn't too jarring.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It kind of crept in on you where... You're like, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's still cute. Yeah. Wait, what? She can't remember things?
Interesting.
That's weird. Maybe there's something wrong with the cashier. Maybe it's not her. No, it's definitely her.
Maybe these customer service people just suck.
Yeah. Maybe it's just him. No, it's definitely her. But is it serious, or is it just, you know, just some weird thing that's happening to her today?
Is it bad, or is she just having a senior moment at like, mm-hmm. whatever? I don't remember what age she is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh God, now I have the time-hopping mental tapeworm.
No, no. Can it be fixed? Can she be fixed? Does she need help, treatment, something? Tell your wife what's going on.
I will say I am planning to continue their story, but I probably won't be doing it for a little while. I do have other projects that I'm working on and things that I still have to release that are already written, like the 4 7,000 word stories I wrote with a sprained wrist.
Oh my God.
Still don't know why I did that. A terrible decision.
Yes. But do you regret it, though?
No.
No, see? We never regret it.
I don't think I have the capacity for regret at this point in the day. As the caffeine is wearing off.
Yes.
You know, emotions are just... You know? What are they, really?
What are emotions?
Come on. Doesn't exist.
No.
No such thing. You ever seen an emotion? I haven't. It's not real.
Not recently. No.
Yeah.
Been pretty slim pickings. You're silly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I try.
Yeah. I try to be silly. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah. You gotta inject some humor into everyday life.
I'm excited that there would be a part 2. I've interviewed
quite a few writers who are brought up to this situation where, you know, now I have to do a part two. People really like this. Now I gotta do a part two. Is that daunting for you?
Not really, honestly, because I had a part two planned when I wrote this originally. I'm like, okay, I do want to continue this, but, you know, I'm going to leave it here for now. Mm-hmm. You know, take some time off from these characters, work on other things, you know, finish the novel so I can actually publish it on time. Because, right. Oh my God, I procrastinate so much with, like, writing things. I did not convert the document for the novel until, like, 10 minutes before I uploaded it. So, like, just to give you a little example of, you know, how my process works, It's a mess.
It's a mess. So is mine. No judgment. You
know, it's a fun mess. And that's what really matters.
Mm. Is it organized chaos?
Oh, there is nothing organized about this. It's just chaos.
It's just chaos.
It's like those alignment charts. It's, you know, chaotic, whatever. It's just chaotic.
But would you even have it any other way? Or are you like, this is the
absolutely
chaos I
not.
Need?
I love it this way. It's so much more fun to just do things spur of the moment than to be like, all right, today I got to write 2 pages. You know, I'm going to write X amount of words. Like, no. You know, to me, if you try to set up a schedule for like, okay, here's when I have to write this by, then it starts to feel like a chore rather than like, okay, I'm doing this because I enjoy doing it.
Right. Of course. When a writer has writer's block and they can't get past, they can't get to that second part of the story, you need time. If you try to force it, it is like the most painful thing for you to do.
Oh, absolutely.
It is not natural.
Yeah, like if you try to force words out, they're not going to be good.
No. And you'll probably end up having to rewrite it over again.
Exactly. So it's just time you could have spent doing anything else.
Anything.
One of the things that I like to do when I just don't feel like writing is I like to go back and read what I've already written. Mm-hmm. Then I can be like, all right, so here's where this plot line is going. Here's what I got to do next. And, you know, maybe eventually I'll get to writing it. Maybe not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't.
Absolutely, yes. Even if it's just a critique, like, wow, I've gotten really far.
Yeah.
Or I could have done this a little bit better.
Oh, there were a lot of those with pretty much anything I write. But that's the beauty of editing. You get to go back and fix all those little oopsies.
Dude, if I didn't have editing, I would not exist if I didn't have editing.
Oh, God, if I had no editing, The novel would be, well, first of all, it would be the length of 2, because that was, I know we're not even talking about the novel, but I just keep bringing it back to that.
We're going to get to it. I don't know anything about the novel, but you brought it up, so we definitely have to talk about it.
Oh, we have to now.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah. When I was originally writing the first draft a couple of years ago, I do have a second book planned for this. Probably going to come out next year if I can actually write it on time. Mm. I make no promises because if I do, I know immediately I will break it.
Yes. Yes.
It is my curse. Yes. As soon as I say I'm not going to do something, I then do exactly that.
Yes. You're not alone. Yeah. You have to know you're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do have a part two planned for most of the stories that I have written already. Everything that's out has a part two planned.
Mm-hmm.
So the, let's just say the short stories, those ones, mm-hmm. you know, those guys over there.
Right.
There's going to be part twos for those. I think I mentioned on Twitter that whichever one of the stories has the most downloads by the end of the month will be the first to have its story continued, like after I get through the things I have on the publishing list.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You know, let the readers decide.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Makes sense to me. I think that's why you're okay with the whole, okay, there's going to be a part two, because you already mentally are there. A lot of writers on Reddit are just like, here's my story. Here's my story. I hope you like it. I have no plans or thoughts. This may never even be seen again. This could be downvoted to non-existence. But then they wait a few days and it's 3.4K upvotes. And they're like, shoot, people like it. Now I have to write my way out of this corner I painted myself in and try to make things make sense.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to, you know, the idea of a part two is a lot easier to tackle if you already were planning to do that.
Yeah.
I don't have too many stories that don't have room for at least a spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, one of the things that I want to do is, even if I don't continue the story directly, like, hey, if there's another character in one of the stories that's kind of interesting, hey, why not write something about that one?
Mm-hmm. I can't speak for everyone. Obviously, no hate messages, please. I am aware that I'm not speaking for everyone. But when you write a story and you're like, this is good. I want to post this. This is great. You don't anticipate needing to explain the really weird, scary thing that you created. So now I gotta find an origin story. Shoot.
Yeah.
Why did that happen? Because it was really creepy when no one knew that this was happening or why this was happening. So now I gotta figure out why.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I do have a planned explanation of sorts as to why the whole, you know, time hopping mental tapeworm situation came into being. It is very loosely related to the novel, but it, like, if you ask me, hey, is it a shared story, I would say downright no. It's only tangentially tied to it, like, at most.
That's a really weird thing to just fall on, to just end up with your topic for this story. Just random. Yeah. So tell me about your novel.
So my novel is called Ark's Covenant. It is about 100,000 words somehow. It has been about 3 years in the making. I started the first draft in, I want to say, 2019, somewhere around there. And it started as like, oh, hey, what if I wrote a story about two men who loved each other very much? That sounds like such a great idea. No one has ever thought of this before. I'm a writing genius for thinking of this brand new, never before seen idea of two men loving each other. Wow. So I wrote this whole thing. And one of the problems that I had with that, and of course, now I'm going more into the writing process rather than what it's actually about, which I'm assuming is what the question was.
It's all of that. It's both of those.
Yeah. I'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
So the first draft, I was just skipping around writing the parts that I thought were interesting first. Mm-hmm. And that quickly got boring, because once I wrote all the parts I wanted to write, I was left with, oh, hey, there's all this empty space in between the chapters I gotta fill in.
Yeah.
Great. What do I put there? And believe it or not, I did the same thing in the second draft. Last summer, I found the old doc, and I was like, wow, I'm gonna look at this. Immediately went, oh god, this is, oh boy. But I was like, you know, maybe with a little bit of work, this could be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I could take this from cringe to pog, as the cool kids say. And of course, I did the exact same thing I did the first time. I wrote the interesting parts first, mm-hmm. and, you know, tried to fill in the rest afterwards, and got bored very quickly. So by the time the third draft rolled around, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to write a full outline this time before I even start working on it. I'm going to write the full outline in the Word document, and I'll leave it alone for a month. I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, hey, I'll start writing this now. And for the first few chapters, it went, you know, pretty smoothly. Started writing them in order this time, not just skipping around like a fool. like some sort of rube. But yeah, started writing it in order for once. And as I wrote, I was like, all right, well, you know, the outline I drafted up first, it's not very detailed. It just has basic plot points. So while I work, I'm going to write an individual outline for each chapter. And that has been so helpful.
Yeah.
I cannot even describe how unbelievably helpful it is to have a transitional stage between rough outline and actual draft.
Absolutely.
Especially because, like, as you're writing, you know, new ideas come to you and you can't really fit them in the original outline, so you have to change things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's things that you want to take out, things you want to add, things that maybe you want to put in a different place in the book, in the story.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to spoil too much of the novel because, you know, I do want people to actually go and read it.
Right.
It's now half price on Smashwords, everyone.
Ooh!
Yeah, until July 4th.
You'll find a link in the description.
Yay. So the basic premise of the book is, okay, there's some guy. He and his sister are running from their town after some supernatural attack happened. Wow, that's great. Never been done before. No one has ever thought of this. And, oh no, what's this? They get separated? How tragic. That sucks. But then, oh my god, wow, this is just such a good day because it turns out someone else was out in those woods and he brought the guy to his house and it's like, wow, this is such a cool place. Can you tell that the caffeine is wearing off?
No.
I cannot eat today.
I haven't noticed at all. You didn't start snoring mid-sentence? There was no... The dial-up's AOL sound? I didn't hear that at all.
It took me a second to realize what the dial-up
sound was. Like, I don't even... I can't...
The window shutdown sound plays ominously in the background.
Yes. Jesus. ASL check. ASL. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, so
yeah, don't worry about tangents. They happen here.
Oh god, you know, tangents are so much fun. I love doing that. My favorite part of geometry class that they did. I'm going to say geometry.
Oh, that's, yeah, tangents. Yeah, oh my god.
What? We're learning today. Welcome to math class, everyone. Please take a seat.
Why did that make me so happy? I don't know. Stop it. I'm in school to be an accountant, and for some reason, when people talk about math stuff, it makes me happy, even though I'm not that happy about math. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. Another tangent. Go, please.
Again, hoping for 2022. That's next year, right? Yeah. Shoot. Hoping for 2022. I make no promises. You may quote me on that last part, but not the first one.
Right? just, I make no promises.
Give no context.
No, right. Don't even put the beginning. Sam Haywood, 2021. why is this in quotes? Like, why did you even
now I'm just picturing like an inauguration speech and the only thing said is I make no promises. Yeah. Honestly, I can get behind that.
Yeah, thank you for being honest.
I think that would be a good idea.
Right, what else do you want to talk about, in case I haven't touched anything you wanted to mention on your first interview?
You know, that's a great question. I wish I had an answer. But honestly, we've really hit all the bases. Like, you know, we've talked about the story. Mm. You know, we've given out some compliments to both ourselves and to Mr. Anderson. I hope he is hearing this, wherever he is, whoever he is. I'm sorry, I already forgot who that is.
I'm surprised you remembered his name. How did you remember the name, but not that he was an English teacher?
English teacher, that's it.
Yes.
Yet another thing English teachers have to put up with. People not knowing their English teachers.
Dude, I wonder if I went back to school if he would still be in a freaking class.
If I saw him, I would just cry. I would like fangirl cry. I would be like, you know, the fanning and the ugly face, and you're fanning with both your hands.
The running mascara.
Yes, the running mascara. Oh my God, Mr. Anderson. He's like, yeah,
we put on mascara just for that.
Just for it to run down your face.
Yeah. Yes. Only reason I would put it on. Anytime I try, I end up scraping my eye.
Really?
I cannot control it. It just happens.
Huh. Shaky hands?
Yeah.
Huh, okay. I've never... I jinxed myself. Knocking on wood.
The curse has spread.
It has. I don't think I've laughed so much during an interview before. This has been so freaking fun.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good time.
More importantly, are you? Like, you're the person, you're the guest.
Oh, absolutely. This has been so fun.
Oh. I'm doing the ugly cry thing again.
I'll do it with you. Let me go get my mascara.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You better keep writing, man.
I will.
If anything is even a percentage of if it all has to end, I'm in it. I want it. I'm game.
Glad to hear.
I can't tell you how great this story was for me to read.
I'm glad you liked it so much. Mm. It was really fun to write.
Well, thank you for joining us on the I Found It on Reddit Short Stories podcast, Tangent Edition.
Yes.
I am Dodge, and I will catch you on the next page.